Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
Hello, everybody. Happy Wednesday.
That's right. You hear that sound, or you know it's the sound of a poll question, the Fesco and Dusty poll question on the Fan 965 we asked you all this morning, because there's some drama going on in Pittsburgh, and it does not involve Aaron Rodgers. It involves TJ Watt. Will he get a contract extension? Will he not? Will he do?
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I don't know, but we asked the question, would you trade this year Travis Kelce for TJ Watt? 210 votes have been placed. 49% of you say yes. 24.3% of you say no. And 26.7% of you say hell no. So more people say hell no than just no. But 49% of people have said yes. Oh, I'm sorry. It just changed on me.
Oh, it did? What do we have now? What is the update? Dun, dun,
323 votes. Ooh. As it loads on our up-to-date computers. 48.3% say yes. 24.8% say no. 26.9% say hell no. Love so it. Do you combine the no and the hell no?
Yeah, we'll combine that.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's 50%.
Right at.
So,
dang.
Because if you think that's the same answer, 24 and 27, that's 51, right?
Mm-hmm.
So 51 to 48. 49,
yeah.
51, 49, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the no's are outweighing the yeses, but barely.
Correct. Yeah. If you added them both, yeah. So 24.8 to 27.2, those are the no's and the hell no. That's 52%. And 48 even percent say yes. So it's close.
I'm surprised it's that close. Usually, yeah. Really, really stunned that it is that close. I figure there'd be a lot of no's in this one. But, you know, maybe people are understanding. Hey, you can get rid of somebody and get somebody better back in return. They did trade Tyreek Hill. So as long as we got that to continue to talk about.
Would you trade Trent McDuffie for TJ Watt?
No.
Yeah, I think I would.
How old's TJ Watt?
He's 30, I think.
Yeah, I think I thought 31 for some reason.
You might be
right. I could be wrong about that. I don't know. But that's no, I'm not trading a potential 10-year veteran star cornerback for a guy who's 31 years old at this point. I don't think that's a smart trade at all.
Yeah, you might be right. He struggled with health too. I get it.
TJ has, yeah.
Yeah.
They're always out. The Watt brothers and the Bosa brothers, man.
They play like psychos.
Yes, exactly.
They do, yeah. But yeah. I need you on the field.
That's
a little
true.
Less psycho, a little more game.
That's true. Speaking of a psychotic, this guy calling Aaron Judge's home run last night was pretty insane on the MLB Network. We'll get you the audio right here.
Aaron Judge is on a pace this year, folks. Ready? For 58 homers and a .396 batting average.
Matty, he's going to go deep right here. The way he took that pitch right there, I mean, this is going to be loud when he decides to swing.
Two balls and no strikes. Oh, you called it, dude.
There it is.
Oh, my gosh. That was on top of their hall.
That ball was nuked.
I mean, an absolute specimen of a man, and a guy that makes a baseball bat legitimately look like a toothpick is Aaron Judge, and he hit the of sign in Hall of Fame. Like, you know where the Pasquatch walks?
Oh, yeah.
That's where the ball was.
Golly,
so
man.
When Vinny got a hit in the next inning, I wonder if he picked that ball up. It was like, oh, wow, nothing like this ever.
I mean, it was, I mean,
majestic, it mesmerizing, breathtaking. One word, I don't know, whatever Bob can say, because I'm keep cutting off. But yeah, it was nuts.
It was insane. But the sad thing about it is that's not even the longest home run by a Yankee hit at Kauffman Stadium.
Oh wow.
Luke Voit did it back in 2019.
Jeez.
He hit one like 470 some odd feet. Do you know who he hit it off of? No, of course you don't know. A guy named Scott Barlow. That's who he hit it off of.
I remember Scott Barlow.
Yeah, I remember the name Scott Barlow, but that's the longest home run by a Yankee ever at Kauffman Stadium. Luke Voit, 470 feet. Aaron Judge, 469. Oh. Now I'm watching this Luke Voit home run. Not as impressive at all as the one that Aaron Judge hit last night.
Voit a lefty?
Let's rewind. No, he's hitting from the right side of the plate. Okay. Yeah. And Scott Barlow just delivers a hanger, and this guy crushes it above like that grass area between the Hall of Fame and the fountains.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, looks like a long home run. Clearly is a long home run. It's up in the plants. But that one that Aaron Judge hit last night, I've never seen a ball and heard a ball hit harder and further and went, whoa, like that Aaron Judge home run last night. That was unbelievable.
Somebody says on the 816 of the poll question, I don't have social media anymore. Put me down as a hell effing no.
I like it, yeah.
Fair enough.
I guess we could have put that as there as well.
Yeah.
And then from the text over the 816, Royals aren't making the playoffs, and the Royals are getting swept.
Sweet.
Okay, well, we'll see what happens. Watching. Yeah, I mean, if that's the thing.
That's my advice. You just stop watching. Go figure something else out. And I'm not telling you what to do, even though I sound like I'm telling you what to do, but I don't know what you're expecting. Like, they're a game and a half out of the playoffs. They lost last night 10-2. They faced Max Fried. They faced an ace. They faced one of the top seven pitchers in baseball. And that might be egregious. He might be a top five pitcher in baseball. You might go up there and be like, okay, it's Tarik Skubal, Paul Skenes, Max Fried. Guy's a stud. He's 9-1 for a reason. He's got a 1.82 ERA for a reason. He gets people out. Did the Royals go 0-7 last night with runners scoring possession? You bet your ass they did. But you know what good pitchers do? They get teams out when teams get scary. And that's what Max Fried did. He got double plays when he needed them. He got ground ball outs when he needed them. And they lost to an ace. The Royals are 4-6 in their last 10. And the games that they've won, they scored 25 runs. And the games that they lost, they scored 19. And four of those six losses, the guys' ERAs that they've faced, 184, 148, 362, 396. Two of those guys pitch for the White Sox. One of those guys pitches for the Yankees. The other one for the Cardinals and Miles Mikolas. So, yeah, they're facing tough pitching. The offense has struggled all year to knock guys in. I'm not saying that. But they're a game and a half out of the playoffs. They're not winning this division. They are 9 games out of their division. They will tell you once you get to 10, kiss it goodbye. Kiss it goodbye. Gone forever. Gone forever. But again, this is what they will be. They will be an up-and-down roller coaster team. They come back with Chris Bubich tonight. Cole Reagan's on Thursday. Those are your two aces of your stars. I'm sorry, Seth Lugo on Thursday. Those are your guys you want to lean on. So I get it. One game sucks. That's the Caglione debut. Also, that's over with. Time to move on.
Yep.
The kid has come. The kid is gone. The kid is here. It's over. This is your team. Until you go acquire another bat, this is what you're going to be. But the Royals are not a playoff team. They're a game and a half out of the wild card. They're just not winning the division. It is what it is. And that sucks. And it sucks getting beat 10-2. And it sucks watching Austin Wells go 5 RBI last night. But again, Judge and Wells had 8 of their 10 RBIs. It's like the whole team kicked your ass. Judge hit a home run that put me and Bob back 10 years. Hell, Bob got on the mound last night.
No, that was Q.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell who it was. Q on the mound last night, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, again, so we'll see.
Yeah, I think last night was one of those games where a lot of fans, okay, for the first time, they're going to consume what's going on out of Kauffman Stadium. The, you know, school year's over. You're kind of in the summer. It's a beautiful night. It's the Yankees. It's CAG's debut. You had an opportunity to put on a good show. You did anything but. I mean, it's like going to an opener of a Broadway show and seeing the reviews the next day going, that stunk. Never show this again. Do not, you know, go to see this show. It got bad reviews from a lot of people last night. Some of the people were that way last night. Last night was also, though, a microcosm of where this team has been all season long when it comes to the offensive side of things. And while that guy last night, Max Fried, was dominating, why was Adrian Hauser dominating on Saturday against the Kansas City Royals? That's a no-name pitcher that they lost a game to the Chicago White Sox. And so it's not just going out there and losing to an ace. If you would have lost to an ace and lost to Max Fried, fine. You've been hitting the ball well all year with runners in scoring position, fine. That's a pass in a game last night. I think last night was more compounded for a lot of people because you're looking at a team that a year ago at this time was sitting 282 with runners in scoring position, the second best in all of Major League Baseball. Now, this year, at the same time, they're hitting 225 with runners in scoring position. That is the worst in Major League Baseball. And only the Pirates and Rockies have scored less runs than the Kansas City Royals this year. And the Pirates and Rockies are arguably the two worst teams in all of Major League Baseball. Now, the flip side is the Royals are not a finished product yet. They are obviously going to continue to try to add a bat and still need to add a bat to this lineup. And we said that a week ago, even with Jack Caglione coming up. Very nice. Now go out another Major League bat to this lineup and make this lineup better. But until they start producing with runners in scoring position and scoring more runs than the Pirates and Rockies, they're going to be a team that kind of just flounders around 500 as long as that pitching continues to dominate. But you're asking this pitching to basically go out there and be mistake-free now because this offense isn't getting the job done. It's like Patrick Mahomes having to go out and score 55 a game because your defense isn't there bringing that side up. Eventually, that pitching is not going to be there on certain nights. Last night, it just didn't happen to be there. Maybe it's not there tomorrow night. Who knows, right? There's going to be nights, you know, because of math, that this pitching staff does not produce the way that they've been producing all season long. And until the Royals get better than worst in Major League Baseball with runners in scoring position, and until they're not in the same category as the Rockies and the Pirates when it comes to scoring runs, it could be a long season from an offensive standpoint. That's why they need to go out and acquire a bat. And it's something they've worked diligently on. Like, I know nobody wants to hear that. They just want to see the bat in the lineup and this guy here right now and go do that. It's not as easy anymore. You talk to any general manager or anybody in baseball that's been around for a good generation. It is harder by the day to make trades. Number one is because people use their prospects to justify their jobs to owners of professional teams. And number two, as much as we love the expanded playoff, everybody's alive still with the exception of like the Pirates and Rockies. And so it's tough for teams to wave the white flag and tell their fan base, we're done for the year, when they're only four games out of a wild card spot, where if they didn't have the expanded playoffs, there'd be a lot of teams that have already waved that white flag. The expanded playoffs keeps more people alive, reduces the amount of trades that you can make and acquisitions you can make during the course of the season. And so here we sit. I mean, are they going to be able to solve it with one bat? Probably not. And it may have to come this offseason. We may get a Taylor Ward or somebody like that, but it's not going to be this big time name that everybody wants to put in the middle of that lineup. And guys just have to start producing better as well. Salvi's got to hit better, right? We all know that. Vinny's hitting well right now. Bobby's starting to hit well right now. Mikel Garcia's hitting well right now. They just got to hit well when the runners are in scoring position. They got to come through in those key moments. And if they continue to fail in key moments, which they are, they're not going to win many games.
You knew how to run an RBI with a runner in scoring position last night? Jack Caglione.
That's right.
Coming up on the other side, no Jack Caglione, no Royals, no Chiefs, but one team that we kind of like watching just go in dismay. In the AFC North on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Hey, it's Matt Quatrero, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Quick little shout out to the Washington Nationals here. You know how you get into the dog days of summer. And you get into the, everything seems to run into the same thing. The Nationals have called up Bruce the Bat Dog from the Rock Red Wings. More on the organization's leader in head pats and belly rubs ahead of his highly anticipated Major League debut. They even had a call-up video for the dog. Well done, Washington.
Yeah, it was cute little video, but I think it's because everybody else is calling up their top prospects and Washington ain't got none, so they called the dog up. Yeah. And I like it. It works. It's fun.
No doubt. You can go see the Royals' top prospect, Jack Caglione. Go to the game tonight. Going to be warmer than yesterday. Did you mow your lawn yesterday or you waited till today?
I did.
You did it yesterday?
Yeah, I mowed it right after the show, too. Didn't even wait till it post-snap. Got it done in the morning. Yep.
That's what you got to do. Get it done, knock it out, and be done with the day. Yep. Don't put it off. What you put off, you know, you can do right now and be taken care of, or something like that, they say.
Something like that.
here's new news from the Knicks this morning. Are you ready for this? What new news? We got a breaking news sounder on this one. Shams is reporting that the Knicks requested permission today to speak to Mavericks coach Jason Kidd, and Dallas gave them a firm rejection. The Knicks have now been denied Kidd and Minnesota's Chris Finch and Houston's Ime Udoka. This is going well. They ought to just hire Thibodeau back.
Hey, Kidd, you just made the finals with the Mavericks. Dallas, you think you let us interview him?
No.
Yeah. Hey, okay. Ime Udoka, the Rockets just hired you last season. You think you'll let us speak with you? No.
Yeah. Hey, like, Chris Finch, you've been up there in Minnesota for a couple of years
pretty
now.
Well.
You want to talk to the Knicks? Hell no. So it's going to be remarkable to see who they end up hiring. I mean,
I'm
going to tell you the drama in the LBC, man. It is so good right now with the Knicks. Nobody's watching the finals. As I told you, it's down 30% from nobody's paying attention because there's nobody to watch. But this is the drama right now. Now the Knicks are 0-3. Actually, 0-4 because Jay Wright told them to get bent,
too. Yeah, Jay Wright said nope.
So, I mean, who are they going to get? Who are they going to get to coach the Knicks? I love it. I love it. Maybe we'll do a players coach type thing and just let Jalen Brunson be the coach. Or let his old man be the coach.
There you go, Rick.
Charles Oakley's my favorite.
I think that would be perfect.
Fantastic.
I'm great. I love Charles Oakley on the bench. Bring back Ewing, too. I know he was a failure at Georgetown, but the hell with it. Why not? Just prop him up, sit him on the bench. Let's
Carmelo Anthony is the shooting coach. Yeah, let's just do it.
Mm-hmm. Be outstanding. I mean, they fired the guy who did the best job in 25 years, thinking they could do better, and here they sit now getting rejected every step of the way. And so be careful what you wish for. The grass isn't always greener, as they say. You fire Tom Thibodeau for no reason.
This guy's grass is greener. Definitely on the other side from the text line. Real quick sidebar comment from the 816 guys. My kids bought me a Blackstone yesterday for Father's Day. Any suggestion on what I should cook to get my feet wet?
Nice.
Bacon. 2 pounds of bacon. Season that sucker. Just fry it up there.
I would say smash burgers or combination fried rice. Here's the trick with the combination fried rice. Cook the rice the night before.
You got to cook it the night before. It's the only way to do it. And if you're in a rush, like maybe you can cook it in the morning before you go to work and let it sit in the fridge all day, but you got to give that rice time to cool, dry, whatever it's the case may be.
It's just better to, like, what did you say? Don't put it off. Like, after you've cooked all your dinner the night before and, like, you're getting ready to go, just cook rice real quick.
Yeah.
Just cook some rice. Okay.
Takes a minute. Yeah. Minute rice. No, you just you cook your rice, put it in a bowl, put it in the fridge, shut it. And then when you come home later that day, because if it's hot or warm and you put it on there, it starts to like mush.
Yeah.
So the cold rice just reheats. It doesn't like mush away.
Okay.
And then you always go protein, veggies, rice, make the whole, add the egg, tumble all together. Voila.
And I got that barbecue sauce you suggested too. What is it called?
Japanese barbecue sauce.
Mm. Yeah. Hy-Vee's got like 4 different flavors of it as well. And that is the kicker right there.
Smash.
It is really, really good. The combination fried rice is the way to go.
Mm-hmm. It's fantastic, and you'll do it, and you'll be like, there is so much food here, but you'll eat it for the next 2 days and be satisfied. That or do Philly cheesesteaks, but get those little like cheesesteaks that they're the Philly meat that they serve at like Costco. I think they have it in Hy-Vee as well. They come in 3 bricks. I sent you the picture of it.
The other day. Yes, yes,
so
yes.
Now you know.
Just buy a box of Steakums and throw them on the grill, man. Go really good meat there. Just Steakums on the thing, and breakfast is awesome as well. I like doing breakfast maybe more than anything out there. Like a short order cook at a diner.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Because it wasn't for breakfast. Samar, is that how you say his name?
Shamar Stewart.
Shamar Stewart had this to say about his contract negotiations in Cincinnati.
And just know,
he's a rookie, by the way.
You're doing the right thing. Like some people say, we all agree Trey will be right, right? But technically, still 1% wrong for being under contract. So. And in my case, I'm 100% right, so it should be a no-brainer. And in Trey's case, I think it should be a no-brainer too. I mean, he led 17.5 sacks for 2 years back-to-back. If I was the GM or I was the owner, take all my money. But I guess they don't operate like that. But
so that's their defensive rookie just drafted, holding out because of his contract and what he does not like about it. He does – and at one point make a really good friend in Trey Hendrickson. I guarantee you Trey's like, yeah, man, keep that up, dude.
Mm-hmm.
For sure, dude. Keep plugging my name in there. Well, talking about ownership and how, you know, whatever. But look, man, this is new. I know that they used to do it. Quarterbacks used to do it. And then, you know, that kind of went away in the NFL. And you know, you'd see guys hold out. There'd be some times where it's like, so-and-so still hasn't signed their contract. But, I mean, it's this is interesting because it's Cincinnati, and they have such a great quarterback. They have two great wide receivers. I think they do have a good head coach, but it just seems that the franchise gets in the middle of it.
Yeah, and that's why, like, what he's saying there, I'm not, like, upset about, even though he's a rookie. He knows what's going on because the veterans are supporting this guy, and everybody knows that the Cincinnati Bengals are a cheap organization. They're not a well-run, good organization. They've kind of caught a bolt of lightning right now with Joe Burrow and their wide receivers and stuff, and, you know, every once in a while, a blind squirrel can finds a nut, but the Cincinnati Bengals have been an utter disaster, an embarrassment, and a stain on the NFL for the better part of 40 years. I mean, that's just who they are as a franchise. Players know this. This is why it's important as an organization to do right by your players and not be an organization that tries to cut costs or tries to cheapen things. You need to go above and beyond because word travels fast. This gentleman has not played one snap in the NFL, and he knows the reputation of the Cincinnati Bengals. This is also a reason why the NFL has done away with guaranteed contracts for the rookies back in the, or not guaranteed contracts, but negotiated contracts with the rookies and have gone to the slotted money. After Sam Darnold stole $50 million from the Rams and never did anything, and, you know, fights are breaking out between agents and general managers for these rookies. Like, this was a rite of spring years and years ago in the NFL. Is so-and-so going to be there on the first day of training camp? Is Derek Johnson going to be there? Is Ryan Sims going to be there? Is Patrick Mahomes going to be there? Like, all of those guys that were drafted in the first round, they wouldn't sign contracts until the last possible second. And then they'd come strolling into camp. And then sometimes you'd be at training camp covering this kind of stuff. Is this guy going to be here? And the NFL's like, we're done with this. We're going to slotted money. And everybody said, great. Because there were a lot of veterans in this league who were pissed. And rightfully so. I've been busting my ass in this league. And this guy's never played it down. They're getting all this money. We got to do away with this. And so they stopped the guaranteed, you know, negotiated contracts with the rookies, and they went to the slotted scale, and it's worked beautifully. You haven't heard about these holdouts, these contract disputes from these first-year players. It's just been a calm process with the NFL. And then the Cincinnati Bengals say, hold my beer, and they're trying to change the language in this guy's contract to have, like, clauses that can void things going forward so they don't have to pay him, which has never been done before in the NFL and has never been done by the Bengals, but they're trying to change precedent right now. And this guy's like, you ain't doing that with me. And I don't blame him. I don't blame him. You change precedent when the next collective bargaining agreement comes around. As of right now, sorry, Cincinnati. These are the rules. Stop effing around and let this guy sign and get the deal done the right way. Because I guarantee you, when the time comes, that guy ain't re-signing with the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah, we're going to try and set a new precedent. No, you've never done this before. Your previous first-round picks the last multiple seasons haven't had to do that since the slating contracts that you mentioned began. So this is just the Bengals trying to cut costs in any way they can. Shamar Stewart made a lot of comments yesterday. Another key quote from him yesterday. This comes from Bengals beat writer Jay Morrison. He says, by y'all, he means the Bengals front office. Quote, I'm 100% right. I'm not asking for nothing y'all have never done. But in y'all's case, y'all just want to win arguments more than winning more games.
That's a great quote. And that's true. That's what it's about. It's very petty right now.
Yep.
And again, you're seeing why certain organizations are losers and why certain organizations are winners. When have you heard of anything like this with the Kansas City Chiefs? Other than, you know, Chris Jones, you know, 2 years ago. But that's a, you know, that's a guy who, you know, was wedded to what he wanted to do. It wasn't a rookie type contract. Chiefs weren't trying to screw Chris Jones out of any money. He just wanted a little bit more. They ended up giving it to him. He came back and he played and he did his thing. But you don't, since Andy Reid has taken over and Brett Veach has taken over this organization, there's been no negativity from anybody in this league. Yeah, some players don't like the stools they got to sit on, but when the new facility opens, it's going to be unbelievable and they'll all be happy with it. And so other than that, this organization does things the right way, and that's why they have the success on the field. You can't have the success on the field if you're an utter disaster off the field like Cincinnati is.
From the 816, there are some Bengals fans blaming that Shamar is a Chiefs fan, and that's why he's doing this, and they are dead serious. I mean, that's, come on.
That's great. Is that on message board geniuses? Because that's a really good hot take by the Bengal fans out there who think he's a Chiefs fan and he's doing this. No, he's doing this because the Bengals are messing with him.
Mm. Yeah, I read that yesterday and all I thought was rent-free.
Yeah.
Rent-free, man.
Does that one guy still have a picture on his phone of, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, great. That guy, yeah, that guy.
I'll take this down. We beat him in the playoffs. Well, you know, that
still his background.
Still your background. Sorry. Also, Joe Burrow, who we all, well, we all agree, I think, that he's the third best quarterback in football. Stud. I think the gap between he and Josh Allen is closer than the gap between Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. But he had this to say about offseason distractions.
You mentioned less distractions with Jamar and T having agreed to deals. Is Trey not being here, or his deal not done, is that a distraction?
Of course. Of course. Last year we had two. This year we have one, so we do have less. You'd love to have none, but, you know, that's life in the NFL. We're all supporting Trey and would love for him to be back.
I mean, I don't know what else you want the guy to say. I look, I'm a huge Burrow guy. I think he's great. I think he's cool. I think he's talented. I think he's fun. I think he's great for the Chiefs rivalry with the Cincinnati Bengals because of how good he is. I mean, think about how much better of a rivalry that game is than the Chargers because how much better he is than Justin Herbert.
Yeah, yeah.
And look, says the right things in the right moments, admits to the distraction. There's really no rebuttal you can get from a media response because do you think it's a distraction? Yes, it is. Last year we had two. This year we have one, so that's less. But yeah, Trey's a great guy. We're supporting him. Done and seen.
And they technically have two with Shamar Stewart, you know, yeah, holding out as well. But I will say this. I am glad Joe Burrow answered the question that way.
Mm-hmm.
Because, first of all, I do hate the question. It's such a media question because you just don't know what to ask. So people are like, is this a distraction? And most people would say no. Andy Reid always says no. We focus on the people that are here. But at the end of the day, when it's somebody like a Chris Jones or it's somebody like a Trey Hendrickson and they're a big part of what you're going to do, not having them around does kind of hurt you a little bit. You know, you want your guys to be there. You want your guys to be at camp. You want your guys to be with you. Mm-hmm. So it is a distraction, and it's more of a distraction because everybody's asking about it. People are talking about it. I'm sure once they get out on the field, you know, they're fine, and it's all a business thing. But it's getting close to nut-cutting time now, right? We're about a month away from the start of training camp, and you want to know what your team is going to be like. But guys also understand there's a small window when you can make your money, and these NFL teams cut players like it's nobody's business with no notice and take their money right away from them. And this is the only way that they can get a one up on these organizations. And I'm all for that.
Yeah. And I mean, that's because how many times does somebody, like you said, hold out and they're like, oh, it's not really a distraction. We're focused on what's going on here. BS, dude. Like everyone on that Chiefs roster is like, man, what's Chris doing? Like, where's Chris at? Like, I don't know where Chris at. Like that's going to happen. And people are going to continue to ask those questions. But with Cincinnati, man, I mean, like we talk about windows, I really want to see teams be successful and give everybody a fair shot at this whole competitive dynasty that has been the Kansas City Chiefs, because I hate when you go back and we talk about the New England Patriots and it's, well, the AFC West or the AFC East was just so terrible and they walked right through it. It was Flacco and it was Roethlisberger. That's all he had to deal with. Well, it's like Allen, it's Burrow, it's Herbert, it's Lamar, it's now CJ, it's all these guys in the AFC. Herbert in your own division. The Raiders went and got Geno Smith. Bo Nix had a great year last year. You know, it's getting better, and yes, everybody wants to beat the Chiefs, but only one team can face the Chiefs when it's all said and done in the AFC Championship game. Who's that team? Who's going to be the most complete team? Who's going to build their team to sustain that? Cincinnati, defense is an issue when you're playing a team that you guys have both said, this looks like the strongest offensive room the Chiefs have had.
And also, too, with this is a bad sign for Cincinnati because, if I'm not mistaken, I think they're 4-17 in the first month under Zach Taylor.
Mm. Yeah.
Right? I mean, they suck in September. I think it's 4-17 or something like that. And so not having your guys there, getting off to a slow start, that's a recipe for disaster. You want to know why the Bengals aren't alive at the end of the season? It's because they don't get the job done in September, and they're fighting from behind the eight ball the entire year because they're not ready to go, and they're not going to be ready to go this year, too, and that's fine. That's on them. Again, though, we should be, again, one of these things that we should really be excited about, proud about, that our team really just doesn't deal with this nonsense. We just don't. Guys come here, they play football, and they win championships.
So Aaron Rodgers in Pittsburgh. I was listening to Albert Breer yesterday on Colin Cowherd's show, and I thought he made a good point as to how they finally got to this decision. And it sounded like, from what he was saying, is that it was built on trust between Tomlin and Aaron Rodgers. Like, they both are, what they both believe in is privacy and respect on the outside of the NFL. They want to have that.
Mm-hmm.
So they both basically, and maybe this is, you know, what we do in the media is we like to jump to conclusions and give our spin on it. That's what makes things entertaining. That's why we try to keep people listening. And I think the thing about this was Tomlin was like, yeah, I've talked to Aaron. Aaron's talked to me. We're not making those conversations public because we know that he's the number one most focused person on, and this is the number one story in the offseason. Nobody got anything. Nobody knew where Aaron Rodgers was. Nobody knew what Aaron Rodgers was doing. Nobody knew why Pittsburgh was going along. And it turns out, maybe, according to Albert Breer, who was on the herd yesterday, who was saying something along the lines of, this was more so Tomlin, Rodgers, Rodgers, Tomlin. Like, if we're going to make this work, it starts at ground one, and then we can move the steps along in this relationship. Maybe a positive sign out of what we thought was a lot of negative with these two individuals in this team.
Well, I'm going to say I was impressed with everything that Aaron Rodgers had to say. For me to admit that is big, because I don't I don't like the guy. I know he's good for the NFL, and the NFL is a better place with Aaron Rodgers from an entertainment standpoint. I mean, there's no question about it, right? Like, I saw a tweet yesterday. What are sports talk show hosts going to do when LeBron and Aaron Rodgers ultimately retire? I'm like, I don't want that to happen, because Rodgers is drama. Rodgers, there's something every day with this guy that's compelling. And I heard him yesterday, and I'm like, maybe he realized he's a heel, and maybe he realized that the only way this is going to work is if I do take some ownership, because I guess he addressed the team yesterday and said, look, from here on out, I'm all in. When was the last time you heard Aaron Rodgers say that, or even allude to that he was all in, right? And he had to get some of the personal stuff, the marriage. I think that's why the marriage thing is important. He was doing that, and the Steelers handled it the right way. They did not pressure him, and when they brought him into Pittsburgh, they did so in like a normal car, and they entered like in a construction entrance with him wearing a hard hat, like nobody even knew that it was Aaron Rodgers. And seriously, this is a story, right? And so they showed Aaron Rodgers that they would do what he needed, and they would start to form that relationship. And you can't have success on the field if you don't have success and a good relationship off the field. And that's how they started it with Aaron Rodgers. They laid low. They didn't make a big deal out of it. They kept their lid on it. They snuck him into Pittsburgh. Nobody knew he was there. They snuck him back out of Pittsburgh. Nobody knew that he was there. And he showed up and he told his team, he goes, look, now for the remaining part of this year, or however long I'm here, I'm all in. And then he even talked about trying to help out the young kid, which is very unlike Aaron Rodgers, right?
Will Howard,
the former K-State kid, former Ohio State Buckeye, right? Mm-hmm. He said, I'm going to be right next to him the entire time. I'm like, whoa, who the hell is this guy, and what happened to Aaron Rodgers? And I'm going to say, for me to admit that, that's why it's okay to change your opinions on things. I heard him yesterday, and I'm like, damn. I'm actually impressed with what Aaron Rodgers had to say yesterday. Let's see what he does on the field.
Yeah, I like it, but when he went to the Jets, it was a new start. It was a new, new house, but it wasn't long until he started spray paint, moving furniture around and making his own and walking in with muddy feet and doing all his own things he wanted to do before he was the only one living in that house.
Right.
So look, it's a good start, but fool me once, you know how the saying goes. Real quickly before we go to break, according to the Yankees Reddit, you familiar? Okay. Taylor Clark was tipping his pitches last night. When the Yes Network showed a clip of a lengthy conversation between Wells and Bellinger in the sixth inning tonight, I figured he was passing on a tell they had on the pitcher. After Volpe's at bat, in which the pitcher completely abandoned his fastball, I knew something was up. After a thorough investigation, it looks like when Clark was throwing a slider, he taps the ball into his glove before throwing it, something he doesn't do when throwing a fastball or a changeup. Someone definitely picked up on this in the Yankees dugout, and they used it to put the game out of reach in the sixth, or in that inning, pretty neat.
Well, no doubt. I mean, they went through the order in six, unless he's hurt,
Coincidence? I think not.
Well, we'll ask Q about it, coming up at 9 o'clock. The Yankees said he was tipping pitches last night, whatever, but that's part of baseball, man. You can't. If somebody gets a tell, they're going to tell everybody. It's like that conversation with Vinny and Cags last week in St. Louis when he pulled them aside, as he was going into the dugout. Maybe he said, hey, and I think even Q alluded to it. He probably recognized something in a pitcher. They recognize stuff. All these major leaguers are good, man. I just looked at that. What was his name? Tony Clark last night, or whatever his name is. And Taylor Swift pitched last night. Taylor Clark, Taylor Swift, Tony Clark, Nixon 5.
Yeah.
But I was watching that guy pitch. I just thought he stunk. That's the difference between us and major leaguers. Like, oh, no, he didn't stink. He was telling us what he was going to do.
Yeah, when you get a tell, no matter what it is, like,
oh, my God, baseball? If you know a pitch is coming, shoot.
Yeah, when you got a tell on a pitch, or if you got a tell on, like, a quarterback or a defensive lineman, like, when his knuckles go white, they're blitzing. It's like, once you pick that up, massive advantage. Poker. Once you see a guy that like looks at his card twice, like that means he's got something. If he looks twice, you're like, got him. Yeah. I got him now. I'm going to get him. And not only that, poker, it's an individual sport. Football, you're like, guys, get over here.
Well, yeah, baseball is it's individual. But once one individual figures it out, he's telling all the other individuals.
No doubt about it.
If that's the case, then we do need to let Q know about it, that they thought maybe he was tipping his pitches last night. And that's something that you can get corrected, where you pull him into the office and go, hey, every time you're going to throw a slider, you're smacking that glove twice. They knew.
Yeah.
Oh, is that why they got like 17 runs off me yesterday? And then Q, you had to go in there and pitch.
Yeah, Q, glad you said that. Q at 9 here on 97 Fan and from the 620 from KJ. Can you ask Q how he's feeling after pitching a few innings from last night's game?
I mean, that guy exactly looked like Q.
Coming up on the other side, we'll agree or disagree about who the best athletes are in the world. Here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at TheFan965 for behind-the-scenes content from the show. Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Minutes. We'll get back to the poll question that we have today for the Fesco and Dusty poll question on the Fan 965. So if you want, go over there and vote on it. We'll discuss what it is a little bit later. Discussing right now, though, is this audio.
I think tennis players are the best athletes in the world. 5 hours and 40-something minutes on the biggest stages. You compare this to other sports. An NBA game is 48 minutes played in air conditioning where you have teammates, halftime, timeouts. To say one thing doesn't mean you're throwing shade at someone else. I'm celebrating and applauding one set of athletes. It's the most complete examination of an athlete that I can think of. You know, we used to get viewed as like, oh, you're soft, like country club sport. I don't know that that narrative exists. I don't know how you can watch and not say the athleticism on display is otherworldly. I think tennis players are the best athletes in the world. The more I watch it, the more I think it.
You know, it's funny because I saw that same tweet probably at the same time you did yesterday, because I went to put it in the doc. It was already there. I thought a lot about this one. It's hard to argue with that. I will say a marathoner I will put up there in front of everybody when it comes to the best athletes in the world. But I think that the NBA player is the best team sport athlete in the world. 48 minutes up, and I don't care if it's air conditioning. Let's not go there. That was a ridiculous comment.
By the way, that was Andy Roddick who was saying that.
Yeah, right.
So.
Former tennis star Andy Roddick. But, I mean, you watch some of these tennis. Mac got into the tennis over the weekend. They go hours and hours. But they also have breaks.
Yeah.
Marathoners don't.
Mm-hmm.
Marathoners do not have a break. I know I'm married to one, right? It may take her a little bit longer to finish, but by God, she finishes. She's not stopping. She's not going into air conditioning or anything like that.
I mean, you had about five. I just want to win, Jerry. Yeah. No doubt. Especially the fact that, what is it? You carb up before you do it, and then you just don't eat. Like, I mean, that's nuts, dude. That's why I respect, I'll never do a marathon. I never do a half marathon. I don't know if I can do 13 miles.
Yeah, I don't know, man. That'd be crazy.
Let alone, you know, 26. You're going to be surprised by my answer. I think the best athletes are hockey players.
I don't get surprised by that. I mean,
watching.
Can you do that?
No. I can barely skate.
I'm terrible.
I look like Chet Holmgren running when I'm on ice skates. Like, I look like those guys or gals in the silent disco trying to skate. Like, what's he listening to? Prayers, like, let alone wear pads, worry about someone ready to knock me the next week, and then also trying to find the puck like I'm playing Quidditch. It ain't happening, man. Like, hockey players, hats off to you. I mean, to me, that's tough. Tennis is tough. I had a buddy that we used to go to Railroad Park in Blue Springs behind the Zarda, and we'd go just play tennis, and we thought we were decent. And I'd go home and I wouldn't be able to sit on a toilet for a week, man. My legs were so shot. And I was like 19 years old. It's not like I was this 35-year-old schmuck, 37-year-old guy. I was 18, 19, 20, taking a racket and just volleying back and forth. And it was tough. Like, even though they're like, oh, the ball's small and the racket's big. Okay. Like, let me know how hot your feet get on those courts.
I think people thought that was going to be a hot take by Andy Roddick, and everybody was going, he's not wrong. I mean, tennis, marathoners, they're all up there as tough athletes. But at the end of the day, hockey does a line shift, basketball does subs, tennis does breaks, they have commercials, all that kind of stuff. The only sport where you start and don't stop and take a break and sit down and rest and have a commercial timeout is distance running. And so that's who I think are the best. I mean, to run 26.2 miles in 2.5 hours, like a lot of these marathoners do, that win this thing, nobody on earth can touch that. No NBA player, no NFL player, no hockey player, no tennis player, no nobody can do what the people do who run these marathons. You just can't.
Yeah, this conversation is always, you know, very subjective. It comes down to what do you define athleticism as? What is an athlete? Obviously, Andy Roddick looks at it from stamina. Bob, you're kind of going similar to, you know what, stamina. He goes stamina, and agility, you go, no, screw that, just stamina. I can go longer than anyone else can. I would say I combine all
not
the traits.
not me,
brother.
I know that I'm hard.
But I would say I can buy all the traits. So you say basketball. I say those are the best team sports athletes. I think those are the best athletes in general because they can do everything in my mind. They can jump the highest. I think they're extremely strong. They have stamina. They have agility and quickness.
But they can't skate.
No, I don't think they can
basketball
skate.
On ice skates?
That'd be fun.
I'd take one of those teams.
To your point, though, I think what athlete could you teach to play every sport the best? I see that as basketball players. I think you could teach a basketball player to swim, be a good football player. I think you could teach them to skate.
Swimming's another sport too.
I mean, swim, they can just stand in the deep end.
I mean, swimming, you know, that's another sport too. Like there's no commercial timeouts there.
Beasts.
Yeah. I mean, there's no breaks, you know, you're going and going and going, whether it's, you know, some do the 50 that, but still, I mean, if you're doing distance and swimming, like that's a tough sport. So everybody always thinks it's all these team sports. Oh, it's so hard. A lot of these individual sports are very, very difficult.
Wrestling's
another one. Yeah. Tough sport.
Tough sport I ever played.
I will never forget.
You ever try lacrosse?
No,
not
didn't have enough money.
Organized. Yeah, just in the backyard. But I didn't like it.
Hard.
Very
sport.
Hard. Yeah.
Water polo.
Hard.
That's actually might be the hardest sport I've ever played.
I tried that for
one
day.
Can't touch the bottom or you're out.
You're out. It is. Yeah, that's a great one to bring up because it is very difficult for water polo. You think, you're just going to tread water. No.
Wrestling always terrified me because of how much cardio is involved. Because as basketball players, I think the only thing that we ever had to do that was brutal was we had to run backwards with our hands up until the flags on the side of the wall moved because people kept farting in practice and the coach getting pissed. And the hardest thing I ever saw somebody do in a practice was shout out to Coach Haggerty, Mike Haggerty, the wrestling legend coach at Blue Springs High School. He put, and we had a building, it was I think it was the ST building. The top was a trash can, and at the bottom of the hallway was a trash can. And it's probably 20 yards in a circle. And I went up to Coach Haggerty, just dribbling a basketball, getting ready to go to sophomore basketball practice. I said, what's the trash cans for? He goes, watch. And I was like, okay, watch what? He goes, watch. And I was just, you know, we were out there just, you know, loose scrimmage, playing with the basketball. And they're running. The wrestlers are just running around the trash cans. And you know why they're there. Just to absolutely vomit. Ugh. And they just did not stop. Ugh. I mean, over and over. Oh, and you thought that was tough. Guess what next practice was? Up the stairs, down the stairs, up the stairs, jeez, in the gym, until he was just done with you running. But I mean, dude,
I'd like to see that go on today and how many Karens are up there complaining that their kid has to run too much.
Ugh. Johnny's tired.
I don't understand why you're making him run all these stairs.
Yeah.
Sit down, Karen.
I mean, Haggerty was a unit.
Is he still the coach there?
I'm not sure, man.
He probably got tired of it too. Like, I can't do this the right way anymore. I'm out.
I mean, it was just crazy, man. Just, I was like, why do they have two trash cans? And it was literally like watching just like soldiers fall. And then by the end of practice, they all just were, it didn't matter. You were just all heads in the can, just brutal, dude. They're already eating like packs of Skittles and spitting out all the juice in a water bottle.
That's a terrible sport too, though, the way that they have to make weight and all that kind of crap. That's inhumane almost.
Yeah, I wrestled for 2 years. My dad was a very like state wrestler, but that was his one rule when I wrestled. It was like, hey, we're not going to do the whole cutting weight BS. You're not eating for 2 days, only ice. Like, we're not doing that.
Yeah, carrying around a gallon of water.
Yeah, all that. Yeah, he was like, you're not doing that. It's not good.
Miss Clifton, can I go to the bathroom? I got to pee again. You just went, Scott. Like, sorry.
The guy who carries around a gallon of water, that you want to talk about a dork.
Eek.
Yeah. Say it to his face. No, but then somebody says, wrestle in high school, best shape I've ever been in my life.
I bet.
I bet you were,
I bet you were a beast.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I just could not get over that. I'm just like sitting there thinking of these. What are the trash cans for? Like, what happened to the goat? Like a Jurassic Park. What's the goat for? He's going to eat the goat. T-Rex doesn't want to be fed. Wants to hunt. But no, yeah, shout out Mike Haggerty.
21 years ago today, Napoleon Dynamite was released. Whoa. 39 years ago today, Ferris Bueller's Day Off was released. Have you seen both of them?
Have seen both of them.
Good. Yep. There you go.
Check.
I just want some tots, Tina. How many?
Gosh.
How many places increase their tot sales because of that show?
Good. Tots need tots more love.
Great. I agree.
There was a lady next to me. She had an order last night in Diamond Club called Smothered Tots.
Smash.
I almost wanted to go there and be like, Martha, let me try one of those.
You're
not going to eat them all. Haven't even touched your chicken.
I mean, homemade tots, regular tots, sweet potato. Like, the tot game has taken off because of Napoleon Dynamite.
Sweet potato tots?
You never had sweet potato tots?
Oh, wow.
We only had sweet potato waffle fries.
You never had sweet potato waffle fries?
I've had those, but sweet potato tots.
Yeah, they got them at Hy-Vee in the frozen section. Or you just make them your own. Shave down some sweet potatoes, create a tot mold, and boom.
Yeah.
I could do that.
Yeah, easily. Yeah. Handmade tots.
Hey, here we go, dude. I've got sweet potatoes at the house. I might just do it to spite you.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Okay, let me know how they turn out. Coming on the other side, we'll ask Matt Cotrero if he's had sweet. No, I'm kidding. We'll talk to the manager of the Royals, Q, on the other side here at 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Hey, it's Michael Wacha, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.